For fans of the Harry Potter audiobooks, my next guest needs no introduction. He's the voices of Harry, Hagrid, Dumbledore, Vernon, Voldemort, and everyone in between. Jim Dale has won numerous awards for his reading of the seven books that have captivated young and old alike for nearly a decade. And along the way, he's even found his way into the Guinness Book of World Records. The Harry Potter series has now come to an end, and acting Jim Dale joins us today to talk a little bit about the experience. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
If I remember correctly, the last time you were here, you just won a Tony Award. Has this series made you a household name with a whole new demographic?
Absolutely. I didn't expect at my age to be appealing to, well, not only a young audience, but the sort of audience that sits in a car listening to you rather than going to the theater and watching you.
What do kids say to you when they discover that you're the voice behind the books they've been listening to?
Oh, they're thrilled to bits when they recognize the voice, not the face. And one or two instances have been funny. The kid asking me whether I could order him a hamburger as Dumbledore in one of the fast food chain shops, and his friend saying, "Can you order mine as Dobby?" So that's quite fun.
Back when this all started, did you meet with J.K. Rowling to discuss the books and how she wanted them read?
No, I met with J.K. Rowling when she first came over to New York. I think it was after the second or third book had been published, and that's when we started to record. And I met her at a private party, and I knew her from the first one or two books. She knew me from the previous work I'd done in England, and she said, "I just trust you. If they've got you to do it, I trust you." So she didn't really instruct me on what character voices to use. She just knew that I had been around in England for a long time as a stand-up comedian in the early days when I was a very young man, 17 and a half. I had the opportunity of traveling to each and every small town that had a theater, and every big city that had a theater. And so consequently, I spent 2.5 years touring around the United Kingdom.
What about the pronunciations of names and places?
Well, she did supply us with the names that she had invented herself. Those names that we didn't have a description of, we recorded those in as many different ways as we could. And then when the list came along, we just said, "Oh, she."
So it's either Draco or Draco
number
or whatever.
Let's just click in number three.
Being a stand-up comic, did that help you when you were recording audiobooks?
Absolutely. Contact with an audience, focusing, reacting to an audience with an audience, is something every actor would give his right arm for. As a stand-up comedian, you are communicating one-on-one with all those people out there, and acquiring, hopefully, you know, the technique of timing, etc. You can time a joke, you can tell a joke and know where the laughter is there. When you're doing an audio book, then you tell the same joke, as you know, and you then have to give a slight pause because you know instinctively that the audience will be reacting in some way to that what you've just said. So give them a chance to react before pressing on.
Also, when you're doing a setup, you're doing all the parts. Mm-hmm. If you're telling a story, you're doing all the different parts, and you have to keep people engaged. In this case, of course, you're working for somebody else's script. Mm-hmm. And there are people who read flawlessly, and then there are people like me who stumble over words that they shouldn't stumble over.
I'm a stumbler too, but luckily, and I give credit where credit's due, the editors are the ones who listen to you. They take out every little fluff and stumble and every little gap and every little sound that comes on that tape, and they make all of us narrators sound as if we're actually perfect, but of course we're not. We make countless errors and mistakes and stop start. But due to those wonderful people called editors, they're the ones who should be winning the awards. They make us sound flawless.
Well, this audiobook, the last one, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, is 21 hours long. Mm-hmm. It stretches over 17 CDs. The audio version of the first book was just 8 hours long. Yes. It was more than half the size of this book. So has something happened along the way?
Yes, I suppose instead of giving us 14 books, she just condensed them to 7. But some of those books, book 5 that they've just made the film of, that was 27 hours of listening, which is an unbelievable amount.
So you haven't changed the way you approach them?
No, I have to approach them the same way as I did the earlier books. I'm given.
I thought you were reading more quickly in the early books.
I wish I could. The good joy about the audio book is that, whereas if you've read the book, you may have rushed over certain parts that you thought were going to be boring. But when you're listening to it, you have to slow your pace down to the speaking voice of the character who's narrating to you.
So if you're reading a book that takes 21 hours, you had to put a lot more time into it.
Absolutely, yes. We're in the studio. When I say we, I'm talking about myself and the editors and the engineer and the producer and probably another person in the studio, listening to every word that I say from maybe 9:30 in the morning till approximately 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when my voice starts to get a little rough, and we have to stop there because I have to match the voice up to the one next morning.
I start yawning if I've read aloud for too long. I mean, there are certain things that you just, it tires you out.
Absolutely. I did a reading a few days ago. I've been touring America promoting Hallows, and I did a reading. I started off with Hagrid, and of course, after 2 minutes of Hagrid's rough voice, my vocal cords were shot, and it taught me a lesson. You know, you don't include those characters in a reading.
There's another problem, I would imagine, we all discover when we're reading to our kids. Sometimes you can't remember the voice that you invented earlier. How did you keep all those hundreds of characters' voices straight?
Quite interesting, because as I go through, I just browse through the book when I'm given it. Actually, it's not a book. It's a manuscript, and I can make notes on the side in the columns because it doesn't read, Dumbledore said da-da-da-da-da-da. It's da-da-da-da-da-da, said Dumbledore. So you have to make a note at the very beginning of the line that it is Dumbledore, and it has to be a said Dumbledore frightened. So you have to put the frightening or frightened part at the beginning of the line. So the script itself, by the time I go into the studio, is well marked. And of course, against every new character, there is a number, because that number is the number that I have recorded on a small tape recorder, the voice, speaking that first sentence that the character speaks. So that if when we get to it, but page 48, voice 22, I can then turn to voice 22 on my little tape recorder to remind me.
And in the case of the fifth book, you had 134 different voices.
That's
which got
correct.
You into the it has to be one of the oddest listings in the Guinness Book of Records.
Well, here's news. Records are meant to be broken, and J.K. Rowling has created for book 7 147 voices. So I think we've broken our own record.
Is this easier than walking across the stage on a tightrope in Barnum?
Walking across the theater, yes. That took a bit of doing, but the voice, at least I'm not as nervous while I'm creating the voices as I was when I was walking 38 feet above the crowd and singing a song at the same time. Now that was was frightening. People say to me, did you ever fall off? They should have asked, did you ever stay on?
Really? Well, that must have been one of the hardest things to learn at an older age.
Hard to learn.
It's like learning a language when you get older. I'm sure it's much easier when you're a kid.
Absolutely. To comment on that, I was doing a reading at Brooklyn Academy of Music, and I said to the audience of young children and their parents, I'm going to edit down so that I can let you hear lots of the voices. And I started to read, and immediately a little girl stood up and shouted out, you've left a sentence out. And her mother said, I'm afraid you did leave a sentence. She has memorized the whole book. And throughout the auditorium, I heard little voices saying, so have I, so have I, so have I. And at that age, 6, 7, 8, they can memorize anything. And that's when they can be given another language to learn. So easy for them.
My guest is Jim Dale, the voice behind the Harry Potter audiobooks from Listening Library. You've said that you based some of your voices on friends and family members. Did they recognize themselves?
No. One of them, Professor McGonagall, was based on the voice of my aunt from Edinburgh, who used to phone up, and she'd phone me from Edinburgh and say, dear Jimmy, dear, I'm coming to America, to New York, just for a few days, and I know you'd love to take me out to a smart restaurant, so I'm going to let you pay the bill because I don't want to bring a lot of money with me. That sort of accent. And so I realized that was Professor McGonagall. And sure enough, Maggie Smith used almost an identical voice when the film was eventually made. But the descriptions that J.K. Rowling gives indicates the type of accent that you should use. So I'm very grateful to J.K. for helping out with all the characters, giving some indication as to the way they should sound.
What about the movies? You started recording these before the movies were made, and I'm sure in some cases the voices of the characters on screen were not like yours.
That's right.
You just had to remain consistent and not worry about the movies?
Oh, I wasn't worried at all about the movies, mainly because the Harry Potter movies were not meant to be on screen. They were meant to be read or listened to. You can't take a 27-hour book of listening to condense it to 2.5-hour film without losing so much and so many characters.
We recently talked to the director of the latest film and the producer, and they said that they passed the script by J.K., and she said, oh, you left out this character. You better put this character back in, because even though it's not important in this book, you need it for the next film.
Yes. It's very, 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 very difficult. And I found that when I watched the film, I was missing beautiful characters like Dobby. These were missing. So when you're listening to the book or reading it, then you have an imagination. It's that imagination of yours that creates these wonderful characters. And hopefully with the advent of a narrator, it gives you another dimension to those characters so that it enlarges that picture that you have in your mind. Now you go along to see the film and the director says, no, this is what the character should look like. In my opinion, this is what I want you to look at, and this is what I want you to hear. And it deprives the people of their own imagination.
Are you disappointed that you haven't been asked to appear in any of the movies so far?
Not one iota, not a jot, because I'm all the characters in the narration of the books, and that's the great thing, to have all seven books on the shelf now for grandchildren to go to occasionally. That's the best reward of all.
As the characters age through the series, did you change their voices to reflect the past?
Absolutely. You hear that in the last book, Harry is much sounding almost the same as I sound now. I didn't give Harry Potter a voice because I knew that I'd be constantly changing into another accent, and I thought, let's just have it as a young Jim Dale who grows older over the seven books.
Well, actors talk about becoming the characters they play, but you're becoming a lot of different characters, sometimes all on the same page. So you must have had certain favorites.
Oh, no. What happens, I've realized that if you're going to be doing the voice of a character, a strange character who could be a spider or a snake or a centaur, you've really got to put yourself in the body, in the head of that person or thing, and speak those words with that accent and the conviction. And that's what I've done with every one of the characters. I play the part as if I'm in that character's head and I'm living in that world of theirs. And the villain doesn't know he's a villain, you know, so you don't give him a villainous accent. He's just an ordinary person to himself. He only turns out to be the villain later. So, yes, I've had great, great fun. I can do that when I walk down the street. I can see a person on the other side of the street who looks very interesting, and I'll throw myself into their head, and I'm looking at the world through their eyes. I mentioned this to my wife, and she just sat there open-mouthed. I said, I thought everybody did it, and everybody doesn't do it. But I do it all the time.
Well, of course, everybody doesn't do a lot of the things you've done, not just coming up with voices for goblins and elves and snakes and spiders, but you have been an award-winning Broadway actor. You were a pop singer back in the day. And you've done the Harry Potter audiobooks and other books as well, and I've heard that you'll be providing narration for the upcoming ABC series Pushing Daisies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
More and more behind the scenes rather than on camera or on the stage?
Well, since Harry Potter, more people have asked me to do audiobooks, and I've realized that there are great fans of the Harry Potter books who, now those Harry Potter books are over, what are they going to listen to? So if they're fans of Jim Dale, I'm hoping to drag them along with me while I record perhaps the classic British novels. I've already recorded Peter Pan, Round the World in 80 Days, and A Christmas Carol, and there's obviously bigger ones, Treasure Island and Alice in Wonderland, to do. And if we can, I can encourage those children now to go on to the classics and realize that J.K. Rowling is a brilliant writer, but there are other brilliant writers in the the world, or were, and their works still exist and will always exist if only people can listen or read them.
Although you have to be careful not to duplicate voices. I can imagine a kid listening to Peter Pan saying, wait, that's Dobby.
And I
gather you got the Dobby voice from listening to someone in an elevator. Is that another thing you do?
It was a little dwarf who was one of the party of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. They were going up to the first level of this theater to go backstage, and I was squashed up against this little dwarf. I had no idea there was a dwarf behind me until I heard the Dobby's voice say, "Excuse me, sir, can you take your bum out of my face?" And when something happens like that,
You do remember. So what do you think of yourself as these days, an actor, a comedian, a singer, or as a celebrated audiobook narrator?
I don't know. They always say jack of all trades, master of none. I decided in the early days when I first entered this business that I would like to explore many, many branches of this showbiz tree, and from disc jockey work to directing, I've tried every one of them. Some of them I didn't quite enjoy, so I backed down that branch and went up another branch. But I think if you're going to be in show business, it's no good just being a singer these days hoping to get on Broadway. You've got to know how to move as well. So to any young actors, get out there and learn to move. Take dancing lessons. To any dancers, to go to a vocal coach and learn how to talk or to sing, because you're going to need it in the future. You should explore every avenue of show business that you can, and I hopefully have done that.
Well, I miss the Carry On movies myself.
Ah, so do I, actually.
Now, listeners can actually go to harrypotter.randomhouse.com and hear clips from the audiobooks. I don't know whether you played any role in that. We also have put some selections on our show page here at WNYC.org. So if you want to know just how many different kinds of voices Jim Dale can come up with and still remain Jim Dale, well, you should go to our show page at WNYC.org. And I want to thank you so much for being this. And also thank you for being one of the few people who knew the ending who didn't spill the beans.
Well, wouldn't that be terrible? It's like your parents saying to you, we have a wonderful surprise gift for you that you can open in about a month's time. It's a bicycle.
Jim Dale, the voice behind the Harry Potter audiobooks on Listening Library. Thank you so much.
Thanks for inviting me. Bye-bye.